Welcome back to Black Queer of Left Podcast. You're here with Tobias Olajuwon.
Ooh.
You know, it's been such a whirlwind of a week, of a month. And I suppose that's not too surprising. It's the shortest month of the year. It's a month of black histories, black presence, and black futures. One of the things that has been discussed widely and almost at this point ad nauseum, even on this here podcast, is the discussion of the events surrounding Jussie Smollett. And I'm not going to get deep into it today because I feel like we've had a lot of conversation about this already. But what I will say is that black queer people are always already rendered unbelievable, rendered unreliable, rendered furtive, rendered sly, sneaky, undercover, and illegible. Not ineligible, which perhaps that too, but illegible witnesses to their own harms. And by their own harms, I mean harms that are committed against our bodies, our psyches, our spirits, our worlds, our communities. So I want people to hold that. I want people to think about the amount of black queer people who have been raped, sexually assaulted. And when I say black queer, I'm inclusive of trans folks and non-binary folks. But I want you to think about those of us who have been raped and assaulted by people who do not identify or claim to be black queer, particularly white men, also black men and Latinx men, who engage in these type of sexual acts without consent, against our bodies. But when black queer people oftentimes attempt to testify and tell the story of the violation or of the harm or of just the disgust or refusal, because not everyone who goes through sexual assault or harassment or whatever registers it as harm, hits people differently. But when folks, and I've seen this happen a lot, folks go to tell their stories, they're often marked as unbelievable because they're out and queer, or they look queer, they look black queer, or they are, and the person that they are alleging to have assaulted them does not identify as such, does not register as such. Also, the black queer person is seen as wanting whatever happened, or on the other hand, seen as the aggressor, the sexual predator, the violator, the deviant, the one who needs to be controlled, the one that's terrorizing community. Even if the belief is that you, the black queer person, do not physically overpower whomever, the idea is that by mere existence, oftentimes mere existence, their presence seduces or entices others to participate in the deviancy that comes so regularly and routinely but unnaturally to the black queer people. And so the existence and the dare to testify about what has happened against one's body becomes an indictment on heterosexual folks, heterosexuality. And perhaps the fact that it's not all it's cracked up to be, and it's not so stable. Sexuality might actually be a spectrum, or that someone heterosexual could want someone of the same sex. That happens often in sexual assault and rape cases. Because there's the unbelievability that anyone could desire someone that's black and queer, a black queer. That's what we go through. And the same thing begins to happen when we experience non-sexual violence. But of course, most violence against black queer people, it has a sexual tinge to it because it happens due to our sexual proclivities. People's reaction to them, rather. So all violence against black queer people in many ways becomes racial sexual violence if it's targeted at them because of their black and queer, because they're black queer. Their sexuality becomes an animating factor of the animus against them, against us. And it is that factor, that animating factor, that is often present in black communities. Our blackness is often seen to be almost swallowed whole by our queerness, as if our flesh isn't as dark as it was the day we started speaking. As if a same sex or same gender attraction somehow suck the melanin out of our skin. It's very interesting psychology that these people have going on. So when it comes to protecting black people, black queer people against the state, against police, against runaway police departments, against other black people that would violate and police us and have done so publicly, privately, in the church, outside the church, in our mother's homes, in our mother's beds, in the schoolhouse, on the playground, on the way home, at the club, at work, in the bathroom, at the bar, in the locker rooms, during and after football practice, on the field, in the courtroom, when we're trying cases, the very clients we try to represent. In the classroom, the ways that teachers look or don't look at us, touch or don't touch us. Yes. Yes. It's everywhere. Invasive. Anti-black queerness is an invasive thing because, and you know, when I think about this anti-black queerness, I don't think about it just, and I do think about it primarily from the lens of a black queer African-American person, but I also think about this regulation, this black queer fertility, and the ways in which it's policed intramurally, right, as sports within our community itself. Is the policing of black genders, of black sexuality, of black being, of black freedom. Because freedom and emancipation are not just absence of ownership by the state or regulation by the state, but also of such by those around us. So when I think about black queerness, I think about a freedom song, I think about a love song, I think about a two-step. I think about the ways we've always been the proof of the promise of freedom and the proof of its absence. You know, if a black queer person can go into work, being as masculine or flamboyantly femme or some mashup of all of that and still get their bonus and still get their raise and be allowed to represent their company in public and not be rendered a spectacle to be judged on the outcomes of their work? My goodness. That's when we'll know that race, gender, and sexuality and performance of all three are no longer indictable offenses. They could have one to lose their income, their livelihood. Not to mention what could happen to one's corporeal, the fleshy, the blood-pumping livelihood. You know, we can recall the Oak Lawn attacks in Dallas 3 years ago where several people were attacked. Being black and queer, we can think about Pulse Nightclub. We can just talk about how hard it is to be a black queer boy, little child, growing up, getting your ass beat for, you know, being called a sissy or a punk and not fighting back or fighting back for not getting mad or being mad. It's really hard out here for the flower boys to bloom, but we continue to do so. I wrote a piece in my book, Godless Circumcisions, a remembering and recollecting of blackness, queerness, and flows of survivance, called A Blue-Black Tulip Speaks of Blooming. And I spoke about pushing in and out of the mud. And I spoke about other flowers that had been plucked, pruned by the pluckers that come by, or strangled by weeds, or plowed over with concrete sidewalks, or scorched by the sun. And I spoke of the cost and the beauty of remaining when so many others have been plucked or captured or removed from community and used as ornament for another society. And that's how I think about what happens to black queer people. Oftentimes we're plucked, pruned, for the beauty of another's mantle. And we're given certain accessories to look cute as long as we're entertaining, but we're used until we die, never to lay roots again, only to be placed in a vase on display for the joy of others. Black queer people are more than ornaments. We are mothers and we are fathers, even if we never have children. We raise grown men and women daily. We raise parents. We raise nieces and nephews. We raise professors. We raise the students in our classrooms. We do the work of mothering and fathering, even when the rest do the work of othering. You are worthy, black queer folk. And you're magical. You are multiverses, forever showing new dimensions of existence, simply by being, simply by looking inward, being open. I'm reminding people what the truth tastes like. what dreams smell like, and all the possibilities of 1,000 tomorrows. This was Quick Thoughts with a dash of chill and poetry from Tobias Olajuwon on Black Queer of Left podcast. You can find this podcast anywhere where podcasts are made, anywhere where they're hosted. You can support the podcast via PayPal with Black Queer Flow, BlaQueerFlow @gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you all soon, and looking forward to giving you a proper episode as the week goes on with some new guests, y'all. Talk to you soon.